Hey everybody, it's Laura. So I don't know about you, but I've been feeling kind of sluggish lately, and it's made me really want to focus on feeling better. And I realized that feeling better isn't just about hitting the gym or eating perfectly. It's really about finding those little routines that fit seamlessly into your life and give you that extra boost. For me, that's been daily Nutri-Greens. Remember those mornings when grabbing coffee was the only option and a salad by lunchtime felt like a distant dream? For me, daily Nutri-Greens changed that. It's a powder packed with everything good. Essential greens, fruits, prebiotics, and probiotics. All of the ingredients you need to feel your best. But the real win is that it's so easy to integrate into my day. I just put a scoop in water, do a quick blend, and I'm good to go. You can use it in smoothies, water, whatever you like, but it's delicious and convenient, and honestly, that's a win in my book. So check out Daily Nutri-Greens from Equilibria. You can find it at myeq.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free to play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create positive change in the world every day by being a conscious consumer. I'm your host, Laura Alexander Wittig, founder of Brightly.eco, and I started this podcast a few years ago because I wanted a place to talk about the gray areas around sustainability and how being a conscious consumer can be challenging and confusing, but it's totally doable. So join me in the name of reducing waste and living positively in the name of the planet.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, Good Together listeners, today we are going to be talking about a topic that I had no idea existed until a few weeks ago when we discovered today's guest. but this is just something that has been so exciting, that especially to see happening among social media. And so what I'm talking about is the concept of a creative reuse center. So if you've really ever wished that there was like a thrift store for crafts filled with paint, fabrics, scrapbooking supplies, what have you, you're in luck, because this thing called a creative reuse center, which may or may not be new to you, but it certainly was new to me, These centers are on the rise, and they're really giving these odds and ends a new destiny, and one that doesn't involve the trash. So this week, I'm joined by Tobin Nichols. He's the Director of Education and Development at Remainders Creative Reuse in Pasadena, California. And we're going to discuss how creative reuse centers are benefiting the planet and why you want to find the one nearest to you as soon as possible. So welcome, Tobin. I wonder if you could just give the audience a little bit of a background as to yourself and just a brief intro.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it. I am happy to be here today. Yes, I have been with Remainders since 2018, which is just a couple of years before the whole thing was begun in a garage in Pasadena. It was essentially a glorified garage sale that sort of skirted the rules every week, trying to, you know, start into the sustainability business. And then it blossomed into a full-blown nonprofit. And so here we are a few years later. We have a 3,000-square-foot art and craft thrift store. We have a 3,000-square-foot workshop and class space, a creative space. And we have a big donation center in the back that we just opened this year. So we are, yes, in the business of keeping things out of the landfill and trying to find a place for people to take their stuff that they don't want anymore instead of throwing it away. I personally came to Remainders as a customer. That's how I discovered it. I walked in looking for a piece of fabric. I did not want to go to the quote unquote big box store to buy, yep, you know, something less than a yard of fabric. I thought there's got to be a place where I can just get some fabric without having to purchase a big amount. I wanted to do a little craft project, and I Googled it and found Remainders in Pasadena in the first space that they had, which was a little tiny storefront over on Walnut. And I went there, and that's where I met our executive director, Robin Cox. We became good friends. She taught me to sew.
Wow. And that's a great friendship. I love it.
Actually, it was amazing. The first time I walked in, I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally my kind of place. And yeah, she's my kind of people. And, you know, we just hit it off. And I, my mother and grandmother were big sewers, you know, quilters, sewers, sewed our clothes, sewed all kinds of things. So I had always wanted to get into that sort of thing and didn't really, you know, I don't live near my family, so I didn't have a way to learn to sew really without taking a really expensive class. And so she taught me to sew. And then I started teaching classes there because I was a teacher and still am a teacher. And then when we moved to this larger space and got a hold of this huge workshop space, we needed a director of education, which I stepped up into because I was sort of the only one that had experience in putting together classes and teaching. And it's just snowballed from there. We've had an incredible run so far. And so that's kind of how I came to be here. And now I'm the director of education and development because we've grown so quickly that we need someone to manage all of that as well. So here I am.
That's so exciting. And I mean, so just kind of like diving into thinking about like what a creative reuse center is. I love that you talked about how you found your Remainders, which was you were like, I myself want a small amount of fabric to use for a project. And I can't tell you how many times I've found myself in that same situation for various DIYs, right? And unless you're somebody who has a lot of space or is a hoarder or whatever, you know, like most people aren't going to hold on to all of those different odds and ends that are needed across their life. And if I like take it way back and remember like elementary school when I was, you know, needing to do craft projects for that, I always remember my mom being like, oh my gosh, you know, I'd come home with like a little list of stuff that I needed to bring to class, you know, and it was like, oh, do we have any extra, you know, canisters and things like that? And my mom would be like, well, I just threw those out. You know, I didn't know that you needed them next week. And so I just remember this kind of general push and pull between wanting to spark creativity, certainly with children at that time, but in general, right? Like you want to be able to be creative and there's a little bit of spontaneity there, but then that kind of requires a lot of stuff, right? So I love this concept.
Yeah, it requires stuff. It requires space. It requires, you know, headspace. For me, I'm the type of person that can't have a lot of stuff around me. I need, you know, I need surfaces. I need things to be put away. I can't have a lot of stuff sitting around. It just clogs my mind up. And so, you know, I have an art studio because I'm an artist and that's one place, but that's a separate space because I don't need to have it all around me all the time. Well, that's sort of, you know, the way Remainders works. It's this place where you can go get one or two little things or go get something that was previously used. So you don't have to buy it brand new. One of the things that we found is a big barrier for people is if you want to try something new, if you want to try, you know, latch hook rugging, or you want to try, you know, anything that involves any sort of item you have to purchase. You have to purchase those things, and they are often expensive.
Yes.
And then that can often put up a barrier to you being really expressive and free with it. You know,
yeah,
being able to be creative because you're afraid to use it. You know, you spend a lot of money on these things and you don't want to sort of screw it up. So, you know, at a place like Remainders, everything's mostly been used or is something that someone else bought. So it removes that barrier. You don't have to worry about messing it up. You don't have to worry about any expectations. You can get things that are really, really cheap and experiment and play and have a great time. And it removes all of that sort of stress and anxiety about it. And that's something
that
we really...
interesting. No, I love that. I mean, I'm just going to jump in here just because I never really thought about the psychology behind it. And I feel like you just said that so well. I mean, you're right. I have a graveyard, as it were, of projects that I'd like to start. But you're right. It was expensive for me to purchase them. And I love that you just said this, because for the longest time, I was like, why don't I start these things? And you're right. Probably it was like in the back of my mind, I was feeling a little bit hesitant because I was like, well, what if it doesn't look like, for instance, I bought this cute felt ornament kit maker for Christmas. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to make some felt ornaments for my daughter and we can do it together. And then I was like getting anxiety because I was like, well, what if this looks like crap and all that stuff? So yeah, I didn't end up doing it. So you're right. I do think there is some kind of, you're right, like financial weird anxiety that goes into being before you're creative, I guess, if you want to take on something new. So that I just wanted to say that was just such a cool insight.
Well, I think it's 100% true in that people all over, like they want to try something, but it's art supplies are expensive. Sewing supplies are expensive. Any sort of crafting is expensive. And so if you want to try it, there's really no way to sort of be like, well, I just want to dabble. You have to buy all those things. And, you know, the great thing about Remainders is that if you tried it, you didn't like it, there's somewhere you can send it. If you did like it, you want to keep doing it, there's somewhere you can go get more things at a lot cheaper price than what you bought them originally.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when somebody enters into a space like a Remainders, or really other creative reuse centers, I mean, what can you expect? I mean, I would suppose there's some things, I would imagine maybe there are some free things, but overall it's more of a thrift store type situation, right? Where it's, items available for purchase, but they're, you know, gently used or, they're at a very, a big discount compared to if you were to go buy new. Is that right?
I mean, that's absolutely correct. I mean, things we have, first of all, any craft or art supply you're going to buy here other than fabric is not going to be over $3. Nothing is over $3. Most things are 50 cents and a dollar. A tube of paint at the store is easily $20. You know, we're charging a dollar for that. So everything we sell is usually about a third of what you would pay somewhere else. And that is because it is, yes, used. Even if things are brand new, they still sat at someone's house. You still don't know what their life was before this. They don't come to us in a, you know, shiny plastic package. They come, you know, having been in someone's hands and been in someone's studio and sat in someone's, you know, in someone's side room where they do all their craft projects. I think something we touched on earlier that I'd really like to stress is that everybody has, especially like I think our mothers and our grandmothers specifically, have sort of a crafting room or an art room or a sewing room. And once you reach a point in your life where you aren't interested in doing that anymore, or you aren't able to do it anymore, what happens to those things? Where do they go? They've been well taken care of. They've been stored in a good place in a nice room, but just didn't get used all the way. So where do those things go? What we want is for them not to go into the landfill, not to get thrown away. Bring them to us. Someone will use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I oftentimes when we have these conversations on the podcast, to me, a secret, I call it a secret sister, which is a weird term, but I call it like an adjacent term to sustainability, is organization. And if you think about it that way, there's been so many times, you know, in our collective history where if there had been a space for things, I'm sure, and you knew about it, right? I'm sure people would take the extra time to go to a place like a creative reuse center and donate or, you know, sell or what have you, because there are sentimental values attached to a lot of these items, right? Like just because you don't have time to use it anymore doesn't mean that it's bad. And you also know that you spent money on it. And so I think The fact that we're starting to see more and more organization of some of these different spots for what would used to be in the landfill is so interesting to me, because it's just like such a, it's a shame that we haven't had them earlier, I guess.
Yes, agreed. For this should have been happening decades ago. And I'll tell you something that speaks directly to what, to your point. I cannot tell you how many times a week I hear from people, I just want them to go to someone who will use them. I just want this to go to someone who will use it and take care of it. I mean, that's exactly why things come here. People have had this stuff in their house and they've loved it and they've wanted to use it, or they have used it, and they want to make sure that it's passed on to someone that will also use it. So, you know, that's the best reason not to throw it away, other than keeping it out of the landfill and trying to save
exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's like you're giving it to a friend. You know what I mean? You know that it will be taken care of here because someone will come here and really use it and take it home and do something with it rather than it just being thrown away.
Absolutely. And so on that note, do you ever find when, you know, people are looking to get rid of a surplus, or maybe they're not even able to do the crafting anymore, do you ever find that they're interested in coming to help teach how to use these items? Like, I'd be curious.
Absolutely. We have, I mean, that's a big part of my job right there, is finding teachers for our classes. We've been really lucky to be really busy with classes the last couple of years, and so thankful. And so, yes, we're always looking not just for teachers to teach what we have on our docket, but like, what do you do? What have you taught in the past? What was interesting to you? Oh, you should teach that here. Absolutely. We have a lot of our teachers that were, you know, someone that was just a teacher in the past, in their past life, or someone that just knows a lot about a topic. And, you know, it's like, this is a great place to do that because people want to learn here. They want to learn something, and they want to learn it in a really sort of like low impact environment where there's no expectation. We don't do any expectations here. We don't do like, oh, it doesn't look how I thought. Like, we don't do that. People come here and take classes because they enjoy themselves. They want to learn something that's not hard to learn. They want to learn it in a really easy environment, and they want to take something home. So that's what we give them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that, as we were doing some research on this, I mean, it's kind of the sky's the limit in terms of the different types of crafting, as we figured out, right? I mean, of course, you can do jewelry making, sewing, needlework. Like, there's all sorts of really interesting, I feel like, crafts and, you know, different methods to learn. And oftentimes the creative, I would suppose it's like creative supplies can be shared across. And I think, you know, having a space for people to come, not only collect the items and the notions that they need, but also to connect with others who could potentially teach them is just so needed. I think, especially in today's world, where I feel like we want to be connected to each other more, especially after the pandemic, but I don't think a lot of people know where to get started.
Yeah. Well, this is where to get started.
There you go. There you go.
You're right. You're exactly right. People want to come somewhere where they can have a good time and they can learn something and it's low stress. And yes, there are lots of people in our classes that say, oh, I've taken this before. I've done this before. I've done that before. And when I teach the classes, I'm like, come on up. Let's hear about it. Like, let's share the information. I think of myself here. I have several years of teaching experience, teaching kids, teaching adults, you know, teaching in general. And I don't really think of myself as the teacher here. I'm more like the facilitator. Like, I say, okay, here's what we're learning. We're learning assemblage tonight. We're doing assemblage. Here's what you do. We're going to use hot glue. Here's a bunch of stuff. You're going to glue it together. Here's an example. Okay, let's go. It's low instruction and it's high doing. I didn't say that right.
Yes. But
like, low instruction and like, get right into it and get started. And other people have ideas and they bounce off of each other and they have conversations. And, you know, that's really what it's about. It's a community, and it's a community that we are serving and building.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I think having something like that for people to be able to go into is just so, you know, so needed. And actually, I myself took about a year ago, I took a stained glass class, which talk about a financial You know, it was quite expensive. I was fortunate that a friend had gifted me the class, for Christmas, and he and I did the class together. But, you know, I just remember it was like the opposite of what you're talking about. Like, it was like, everybody was like very nervous because we didn't know what we're doing and there wasn't a ton of instruction. It was kind of like, okay, here's how you do it. And then ready, everybody go. And there was just like this strange vibe going on. And so I totally would have learned, preferred to learn how to do stained glass class with you, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, it's tough. You know, the thing is, anybody could think that they can teach something, but not everybody can. Teaching is really something that takes a lot of listening as well as a lot of talking. You know, you have to really see what people are trying to figure out and explain it to them in a way that they'll understand, and then give them the space to experiment. That is absolutely a huge part of it. Instead of just sort of throwing them to the wolves, especially something like stained glass, that's really difficult. That's hard.
It was hard. Somebody should
have been really telling you exactly what to do, you know, but it's all in the way that you make it accessible to people. You know, we don't do any expectations here. We don't do, this is what it should look like. This is what I thought it looked like in my head. We do not do that. We are here to have a good time. You make whatever you make. It turns out however it turns out, and you are accepted and, you know, given accolades for whatever you've done. There's nobody. I have one student that takes all of my classes, and she always says, oh, Tobin, you just tell everyone they're doing a good job. And I'm like, well, yeah. That's the point. Like, I'm not here to be like, oh, that looks terrible. Why'd you do that? That's not my job. I think she would just prefer I told her she was doing a good job. But anyway.
Oh, that's funny. I love that. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's like, no, we're not here for that. We're here to tell you you're doing great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one thing that we didn't really cover, we talked a little bit about it, but something that I think would be interesting for the audience to hear as well is really thinking about how these spaces positively benefit the environment. So we talked obviously about, you know, craft supplies being put back into circulation rather than going into landfills. But there's actually a decent amount, if you drill in here. And so the Brightly team and I did some research beforehand, and you'd be really surprised to know that a lot of craft supplies can be really difficult to, quote unquote, sustainably dispose of. So there's, you know, glitter, paint, items like that can be super, I know, right? Yeah, try and dispose of glitter. Good luck with that one. But I mean, truly, there are some of these items getting into our natural environment because they're sitting in landfills. And so it's one of those things where you just, number one, there's a lot of things that need to be reused. But number two, even some of those things need to be reused more than others, just because they're not something that can just, you know, biodegrade or something of that nature. And, you know, exactly. I believe you have some statistics, about, you know, the impact of donations that you've had. Is that correct?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I can tell you, well, first of all, I want to say, you know, a perfect example of the way things, art supplies do not degrade. A perfect example is that if you think about acrylic paint, you know, there are a lot of tubes of acrylic paint. It's great to paint things with. You can paint all kinds of things. You can paint paintings. You can paint sculptures. You can paint anything. But what acrylic paint does when it dries is it turns into plastic. That's what it happens to. When it dries, it turns into plastic. And is plastic great for our environment? Not at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a great example of how our supplies definitely need to be kept out of the landfill, because they just turn into things that will never degrade. Will never go back to the earth in any way. But yes, I'll answer your other question.
Sure. No, it's a really important thing to think about.
My favorite statistic right now for remainders, and I say it to everybody that comes to visit, I give tours here. When people wander up here next to my office, I always go out and talk to them. Whenever we are talking to new partners that we're trying to partner with, I always give them these statistics. And this is my favorite one so far this year. In January, we kept out of the landfill 7,490 pounds of things.
Wow.
That's just in January.
That's, you know, crazy. Those were just in 1 month.
In 1 month, we took in almost 7,500 pounds of stuff that did not go to the landfill. And that's what I'm so proud of. We put that back out into the community. We spread it around to people that can use it. And it did not have to get thrown away. And so, you know, we're averaging that kind of number every month, which is what's crazy. you know, that's what we're amazing. Looking at, that people are donating. It's incredible. And, you know, and I don't say that to be boastful. I say that because I'm so proud that that didn't go to the landfill.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad that not only is your organization able to have that impact, I love that people are hearing about you. And one of the things that I think, I hope that people take away from this podcast, in addition to just understanding, like, look, you know, maybe we all need to go to a therapist talking about our crafting. No, but maybe we need to, you know, think more about these types of centers and finding our local one. Because like I said, I myself was not aware of this type of place to go. And so I'm really excited. And so in addition, I think to the environmental impact that we talked about, and just contributing to what we certainly could call the circular economy. There's also, I feel like, a few other really amazing side benefits in addition to, you know, the environment. I mean, number one, the thing that came to mind for me was, you know, affordability, and taking away that financial burden, like you and I talked about earlier, for people who want to just explore and have fun. I would imagine that's something you hear a lot about, in your line of work.
All the time. I mean, it really is removing a barrier that people have. I mean, if you think about artists and crafters and people who sew, you know, artists, and speaking as one, I'm an artist, I can say this, artists have always been poor. Artists rely on selling their work or getting grants or in some way, you know, creating things in order to make their living oftentimes, or they have to take on another job. And every art supply is expensive if you buy it brand new. And this gives people an outlet, a way to keep making work really inexpensively. And also psychologically, like we spoke about, you know, psychologically, you're not worried about wasting something because, you know, you've got it to use. It's not something you're not breaking the seal on anything. So it's psychological, it's financial. It really runs on a couple of those different levels.
I love that. And you're right. I mean, I think there is something to, you know, using one's hands and being able to, you know, create something from nothing, being able to get offline. I mean, like, you know, we are all just so online all the time. So being able to just take a second and like learn how to interact with the, you know, physical world is always a good thing. And we also talked, you know, about the community building piece, which I think is really interesting. So on the topic of community building, I'm super interested. So when we were thinking about some questions to ask you, I was like, I have to ask this one, which is, okay, I'm brand new to this space. I've never been to a creative reuse center. I'm sure you can really mostly speak to your center in particular, but what do I do? Like, so when I walk in, like, what should I expect and like, how should I orient myself?
Well, I'll tell you the first thing, when you walk into Remainders, your jaw will drop open. And because you can't believe the amount of stuff you're seeing in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
But really, I think there are two types of people that come here. There are two ways of thinking about that, the people that come here. There's someone that comes here that has an idea. They have a project in mind. They are here to find the things they need. And so because of the way it's organized into sections like visual arts, paint, brushes, you know, assemblage, wood, metal, things like that, fabric, you know, so it's all organized really well. But at the same time, you have the opportunity to dig through stuff. It's not all sitting on shelves, it's all sitting in bins. So you can look and look and look and dig. And those people that go to thrift stores, you know what I'm talking about. They love to dig. That's a big thing, is sort of like finding the treasure. And that's something you do here. So yeah, the first person is definitely knows what they want, is coming to find it, and, you know, knows exactly where to go get it. And then there's the other person that walks in for the first time and is inspired by what they see, inspired by the things they find. Those are the two people. They walk in, they're open and ready to find something and make something with it and be inspired by the materials.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would say those are definitely the two people that come in here. And also, you know, I think those cross each other too, because someone will say, okay, I know I want to make a costume that has to have pink fur and it has to have long, you know, nails attached to it. Okay. So I'm going to go look at Remainders. Oh, look, here's some yellow fur. Maybe I use yellow fur. Oh, wait. Okay. Maybe instead of having long nails, it has, you know, giant bear claws that I found over in the assemblage section, or maybe, you know, it has wooden horns that I carve because I found wood in the wood section. So it's all adaptable, but definitely there, those two people come. Like the person comes and says, I mean, I've been down there where people said, oh, we're staging a play and we need to make the costumes. We need 20 pounds of batting. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go find 20 pounds of batting. But, you know, then they discover other things along the way. So I think it really, the two people definitely cross over.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think just the bottom line for me has been, you know, not only is this a space for people to be creative, it's a space to share, it's a space to hunt. And like, you know, I know a lot of people actually, including the producer of this podcast, who will certainly be listening to this episode, she loves to go and thrift on the weekends. And I'm sure she's probably reached a point in her life where she's like, man, I really don't need any more, you know, jackets or something like that. And so I would imagine people that like to thrift a lot, you know, get to that point. So perhaps a space like this is just like a whole another ballgame where they can, you know, create and enjoy the thrill of the hunt and all of that. So, you know, listeners, if you're a big thrifter, highly recommend checking this out, even if you don't consider yourself to be a crafter. I mean, there are a lot of people who I think identify as somebody who likes to do a lot of DIY or hands-on art type things. But that's the great thing about art and crafts. Like, they are yours. Like, you can make whatever you want. You can keep it if you want. You don't have to keep it. But like, I think we need to get back to it. I think we need to get back to that form of creative expression. So Tobin, in closing, you know, we typically like to leave our listeners with, you know, some actionable tips they can take to, you know, further the information or further, grow after they've heard the podcast. And so I'm wondering, you know, how can people support Creative Reuse Centers?
Well, I think the big way they can support Creative Reuse Centers is to go through the stuff you have, the stuff that, you know, have a really good conversation with yourself about the things you have in your home. Am I going to use this? Is this something that would be better off in someone else's hands? Have I touched this in a year? No, Then you should pass it on. Give it to someone that can use it. And that doesn't always have to be bringing it to us. Like if you have a friend that, you know, I guess as an artist, that's kind of something that we often do. Like, oh, you know, you'll hear from your artist friend, like, I have these stretcher bars to stretch canvas. Do you need them? Sure. Okay, you can have them. You know, it's that kind of thing. Spread it around and take a really hard look at what you have. You know, nobody needs more stuff. Absolutely. Nobody needs to buy more stuff. Everybody has too much stuff. Yeah. But take a really good look at what you have and see what you can get rid of and you can spread around to someone that will use it. That's really what we're all about, is just getting it into the hands of people who need it and getting it there in a really cheap way. I mean, we are not trying to make $1 million here. We're trying to help the community. That's why we have teacher discounts, why we have student discounts, why we have scholarships for our classes. You know, that's why our classes are really cheap. I mean, some people, you know, try to tell me that we don't know what we're doing because our classes are too cheap. We know what we're doing.
We're not trying to make $1 million.
we are trying to let people take classes and express themselves and use the materials. We don't give classes if we don't have the materials. So if we are giving a painting class, we need to have that paint. We do not buy it. If we're giving a latch hooking rug class, we have to have the latch hooks and the canvas and the rug pieces, all of that. Like those, that's what we do. So, you know, definitely we know what we're doing as far as that goes, but we want people to just enjoy what they do and have a good time. And also take a really hard look at what you're putting out in the world. Like, yeah, instead of throwing something away, bring it to us. And if you buy something here and you get it home and you think, oh, I'm not going to use that, bring it back. You know, don't throw it away. And I don't say that, you know, out of greed. I've had people say that to me, like, oh, I'll just buy this. And if I don't use it, I'll just bring it back. Great. Yeah. Redonate it. Like, please give it to somebody. Don't throw it away. That's all I ask is don't throw it away.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? It's been an amazing conversation. Listeners, if you're anywhere close to Pasadena, California, you've got to check out Remainders. Another one of our Brightly team members lives in Pasadena. I definitely need to go visit her. I'm in Seattle, but next time I'm visiting, I will definitely stop by. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been really great. And of course, we'd love to see everybody. Come on, come see us. You know what? I didn't tell you this before. I meant to mention this. I always say this really cheesy dad joke, but it's true. Our motto here is, it's here somewhere.
I love it. But it's true, because though. I mean, like, that is quite a dad joke, but it is very true. I can imagine with the amount of stuff you have, that is very true.
Yes, it's absolutely true. All right, great. Yeah, great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. To get show notes and more, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Finally, don't forget to join in on the conversation with us on social media. You'll find us on almost everything at brightly.eco. Don't forget, we're all on this journey together, so have fun putting the planet first and stay curious.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.